I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week is part three of Aces Soccer Club. Now, this soccer club, like I've said in all the other intros and episodes and questions I've asked, is a medium-sized soccer club. Now, we break down for mostly about 26 minutes in this episode, and we talk about the direction the club is heading, what leagues they're playing, and things along that line. As you listen, I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as I have editing and re-listening to it once again. I have always enjoyed listening to these two fine gentlemen talk. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch. You guys talked about it briefly with the videos. Do you guys have a college pathway program to help kids get ready for colleges then? Or college?
Yeah. So you know, the biggest thing is once they kind of get into that recruiting side is we work with the coaches that are at that age group. And, you know, we have certain evenings and stuff where we set up kind of other college coaches will be coming out and speaking and kind of just giving advice on how to interact with college coaches and what kind of emails to send, what they're looking for. You know, I work directly with a few of them and from kind of my college soccer background and knowing kind of what I wanted from recruits and try and give our best. And then obviously the showcase tournaments and which ones are the most popular for coaches and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not like one set kind of pathway of it. I think all of our players are, you know, given that exposure and given the knowledge, and then it's kind of always up to individually, you know, we're always speaking to coaches and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the individual of how, you know, where they want to go and to do the research on what the best fit is for them and whether college soccer is for them, you know, not for, for a lot of people, maybe it's not the way they want to go, but for the ones that is there, we do everything we can to kind of give them that pathway and introduce them to that pathway. And then, like I said, college coaches at the end of the day, they like to speak to us at times, but it's all they, you know, they want the contact with the player. And then it's like Jordan said, getting them ready for that moment to be able to interact with those coaches and do it the best possible way. So
now, do you guys have a pathway to help the players to achieve, like if they're going to go off to college, to be physically, mentally ready for it? Or is it ready for college? Or is there something you guys recommend for them to do then, or if they're going that route?
You know, something we've looked into is the training sessions, and we're actually speaking to a few colleges and college coaches now that are interested in coming and with our older groups running kind of their college training sessions. And but you know, every college is different, every coach is different, and I think at the end of the day, you know, our job as coaches for each team that we have is to get them ready for that moment of going off to college soccer. So you know, everything you do from the young age all the way up to, you're trying to get them ready for that moment and being as best equipped to do it. So I wouldn't say it's just suddenly a year from, all right, let's get ready to go to college kind of thing. I think it's much more of a ingrained thing. And, you know, obviously we'll give them advice along the way and, you know, tell them of our kind of experiences of it. But, you know, it's much more of a whole kind of process than just suddenly in a year, you're like, this is it. And this is how it is. And the cool thing is we've had a lot, you know, a lot of our coaches coming back have gone from ACES to college and then come back. So there's a lot of young coaches that can connect well with these kids that are going off. And but yeah, I wouldn't say there's just one certain thing. There's lots of different ways we try to do it, but more of it is just the whole culture from the time they start with the club to get them ready for that moment, really.
And is college the only pathway program you guys have, or do you have other pathways? I've talked to other clubs. They might have a pathway with a club in Mexico, or, I mean, Villarreal has a connection with Villarreal in Spain. They have all these different avenues to work with outside of the Metroplex.
Yeah, we have, so like Jordan mentioned, we have the German camp twice, that comes twice a year. So David Mueller comes over with a few different coaches from Germany, and they'll all kind of get assessed and kind of have the opportunity then to, you know, if they think they're good enough to come over and try out in a few different leagues in Germany. And we've had multiple players go over and play in Germany after or before college or after college or in the summer during college. And so it's, that's definitely an option and a pathway. And also with a new facility in Anna, we're looking into, we're planning on getting a semi-professional team. Not sure if it will be USL 2 or MPSL, but something along those lines where, you know, players, problem about the college season is they go into college and they play in the fall. They'll play 20 games in 2 months and then there's nothing until the next August, and then you play games here and there, and it's very hard for that development. So we really want a place where, you know, these ACES players can go off and go to college, but and then during the summer when they're back home, they can play at a high competitive level and be able to kind of push on. And also after college, it's somewhere to continue to play, because really it's like college, then you go pro, or it's just kind of a Sunday league deal, really, and there's no real in between. To try and have that pathway, and also I think it'd be really cool for the club to have, because then you've got, you know, like you said, your son absolutely loved watching the game live, right? And now they can watch, you know, these college kids coming back and playing live during the summer and live soccer, and knowing that these players have gone through that process as well, and now they're here competing at this high level. And no, I think it'll be a really cool and exciting thing that we're really excited for. Quite a multiple of Aces players are actually playing for me at the Irvine FC right now, but yeah, that's kind of our long-term plan. Hopefully in this time, maybe next summer, if that facility is ready, then that's kind of what we're looking to do. So
we'll have to have another chat by then. So yeah, USL League 2 is huge, and an NPL team, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great pathway for a club to actually have. I mean, this broadens the chances for you guys to be even more successful, to bring players up and let these kids live their wildest fantasies that they've been dreaming of and looking at, admiring players all their lives.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's just, you look around in Europe, and that's just how a club is at the end of the day. There's a first team, and then there's the youth all the way through. And it kind of seems in America, there's very few, you know, obviously you've got FC Dallas, but there's very few teams that they either have a good first team and then there's no youth underneath, or they have a really good youth kind of going all the way through and then it kind of stops. Right. So, you know, we're kind of looking at that European model of building a club and having some pathway, not only just college, but another pathway to continue playing, and also for the little ones growing up and to be involved and watching live soccer is always a cool thing for the community as well. And I think it'll be something that the whole community can get behind and should be good fun.
I truly believe, I mean, the more I have talked to people from all parts of the world outside of the United States, that was their, and it wasn't expensive to go to, first of all, and that's the comment they made. It was not like a $90 a ticket or $50 a ticket, whatever it may be. It was $10, $15 per ticket to get in to go watch, and you're one of 3,000 people watching a match, and then you got to watch the players and the interaction with the community, with the players. It was really made the game very much a community sport.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, it's much more relatable than obviously everyone loves the Premier League and stuff like that, but this is much more relatable where, you know, you'll be able to see them train while they're training and everything will be much more inclusive and you'll be able to meet the players. And we're excited for it, definitely. And hopefully it comes quickly. That's what we're ready for. So
now, are you guys looking at starting something like a school system where players can come and get somewhat of a primary formal education through, like, I don't remember, like, let's say grades 4 through 12, and eventually having that part of your academy then with the USL or NPL team that you're trying to build up, or is that not even a forethought right now?
It's been mentioned, it's been talked about. It's just a lot of different ways and thoughts behind that all. So I wouldn't say there's anything kind of in the right near future on that, but it's definitely been something that we've talked about. And I know even just partnering with other schools that you can do. So there's lots of different ways around doing it. It's kind of becoming more and more popular. I actually I got to go down to what are they called? The Toros, I think it's down there in right at the bottom of Texas for my, I've gone blank on what their name was, but they've down there, they've got an unbelievable, they got a USL team, but they also have like a training complex behind, and then the school's kind of built right behind that as well. And it's just a massive school that's open to everyone, but all their players go and they train during in the morning, they train during lunchtime kind of thing, as well as in the evenings. And it's a cool concept. We're very wary of, you know, the kind of level for that and the level of commitment and the burnout that can happen. And at the end of the day, we still want it to be a sport where everyone, you know, you're still playing for enjoyment and love of the game and not trying to take it unbelievably seriously all the time. And I think there's definitely players and teams that want that, but there's a lot of teams in the whole of Dallas and the whole world that still want to be a kid and want to go and play a couple of times a week and still obviously improve and get better and get as good. But taking it to 5-6 times a week is, at a young age is a big deal for sure. So it's I think it's a balancing act and how you do it, really.
Right. No, that's an interesting one. And do you guys have sponsorships for teams, or how do you guys have? I mean, obviously, you guys have some pretty nice facilities from the sounds of it and what I've seen that you guys use. Do you guys have sponsorships that come in and help reduce cost for you guys? Or is there a way that you guys reduce cost for parents coming into the club? Not cheap.
Yeah, it's not cheap. And, I think sponsorships is something that we're actually kind of about to kind of start diving into. We've been speaking to Sammy, and he's kind of been on and off the whole sponsorships deal at times, but it's definitely something that an avenue we're looking at. And unfortunately, club soccer is expensive kind of wherever you go, and it's very kind of and with having our own facility, it's definitely something that we take great pride in and kind of sets us apart. I think that being able to have that facility and have that constant place where we know we're training and we know we've got lights and we know all our teams are going to be able to be there. And so it definitely helps us out on that front. But yeah, we don't have any particular set sponsors really right now. But it's definitely something we're looking to start adding in the future.
And now do you guys... with a medium-sized club, I'm assuming it's less expensive than the larger clubs. But would you say your coaching fees throughout the year are in the middle of the grounds then, for being the size of a club you are?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say that. All these teams' fees and all that all change, and we don't really kind of look at other club fees and base it on that. We just kind of make it as kind of affordable as we can with obviously having the facility and wanting to attract still, good quality coaches and also the league fees that go up and up and tournament fees that go up and up. So you're always having to constantly kind of adapt, but we've kept our prices the same now for 3-4 years they haven't really moved. And so we try and, try and keep them as good as we can, but obviously knowing that it's not cheap. And we do two tournaments a year, our Aces tournament that generates revenue for the club that we can kind of keep the cost down, and we try and run our facility a lot through those two tournaments where we don't have to charge the parents extra stuff. So there's ways that we try and offset costs without sponsorships with those tournaments and camps and clinics and stuff to try and keep the facility running without having to lay that cost as much on the parents, really. But yeah, it's those things that clubs, certain costs that you just can't get around, really.
I forgot to ask this question earlier. I'm so sorry. What leagues do you guys play?
So academy, it's very kind of coach by coach, team by team. A lot of the times we'll play in the pit or RPL. I know RPL uses our fields, play in the pit, play in O and some leagues, but we've got other teams that try different leagues and see what the best fit is for them in the academy side. And now actually starting this year, we've just got accepted into the ECNL, RL North Texas League.
Congratulations.
So we will be sending and having a team in every age group on the boys side from that. And then we'll also be the majority of our teams will play Classic League, and if not Classic League, then the Plano Invitational League is what they'll be in. So So yeah, we've got that ECNL kind of added to it now. Obviously, the travel of ECNL, the main kind of ECNL is something that kind of put us off of having to travel that way when you've kind of got Classic League right on your doorstep that's there. And we think is, especially Division One, Division Two, we think is as competitive. But we think this ECNL North Texas, that being here and being local and not having to travel as much, but still having a competitive league for other teams to play in, I think would be great. So yeah, now we're looking forward to that addition, and we still obviously love the Classic League. We love the promotion, the relegation, and the competing, and it kind of shows where your team's developing at those older ages in that Classic League of how well you're doing. So yeah, it's always fun. The Classic League's been around for so long, and we really, really enjoy that league. So,
and are you guys predominantly 50-50 split between girls and boys teams then?
No, so actually when I first came 4 years ago is when we started the girls program again. It's been a predominantly boys club. Not from any really kind of, you know, idea of we're gonna go focus on boys. It just kind of became kind of boys, and we've really been trying to grow the girls side. And so we started with the 2012 age group. When I got there about 4 years ago, we started with that age group, and how we build all teams is kind of through those academies. So kind of instead of going and get older age girls teams, we start from the 2012s and work their way down basically. So so now we have 2012s, 13s, 14s, 15s, and starting the 16s, 17s now. So you know, it's slowly gaining traction. We've always, you know, we still get the comments of, oh, like, we didn't think know you had the girls side. And you know, so it's been kind of newer to our program, and you know, been more of a challenge to recruit and bring girls in than on the boys side. It happens a lot more naturally, but you know, it's a big ambition and dream of ours to have as many girls teams as the boys side. And yeah, we're really trying to grow that side, as well as understanding, you know, we want to grow it the right way, right? And we're not just going to kind of go and get any team, but we really want to try and grow them from the academy and from those young ages and all the way through. So it takes time, and you know, sometimes you're there like, come on, we want a team in every age group, but you know, we trust the process on it, and you know, give it a few years and we'll definitely be there, and hopefully then kind of you'll see the growth and the potential of on both sides, which would be great. So
you guys are truly doing the organic growth process versus just,
yeah, that's you know, it's always hard, and like I say, sometimes you want to get the growth quickly, but we've been around it long enough to know, and we've learned lessons and made mistakes along the way, and in doing that. And you know, when I wasn't here, but I've had a conversation with Sammy in the past where he's done that before and had to kind of almost start all over again, really. So he's really conscious on the vision and the philosophy of the club, and doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to lose that identity by just thinking about growth, really. So yeah, we're doing it the way that we want to do it, and hopefully we'll get the rewards for it in the long term. So
that's, oh, all. Yeah, Ben, like he said, was here for 4 years of it, but man, I lived every single one of those decisions where we grew a little bit too quickly for our own good. And you know, it's honestly, it's great to be at a point where we feel like we're doing things correctly now.
That's awesome to hear, because as a parent with a young, even eventually my kids will be older playing soccer, or advising parents to where they should be looking at, it's nice that you guys are comfortable where you guys are at and growing the rate that you guys want to be growing. So
yeah,
that's sure. Key. And so I'm assuming recruiting is all for players is by word of mouth. Not, you guys aren't going to any of the pits or any of the indoor facilities and recruiting at games, handing out business cards. I'm assuming it's word of mouth.
Yeah, most of it. And we, you know, we've got you know, Facebook and marketing stuff on that, and you know, we've passed out leaflets and stuff. But yeah, we always really You know, when we ask parents, and we have kind of a referral system as well, which really kind of has been working well. But yeah, a lot of the players that we do get is from word of mouth, honestly, and that seems to be the biggest thing. And or you know, you're playing a game and you get parents kind of coming up to you after games if your team's done perform well or they like the way you play, and that's always a good kind of recruiting side of it as well. So yeah, I wouldn't say we're kind of massively out there pushing, but we do well from the word of mouth and getting players out there. And I think once we do get players to come out and start being involved, then I think the retention rate is really good on our side of it right now, which we're happy about. So yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing. So
that's awesome. As a player, who influenced you the most to be the player that you were, then now switching to the coaching side, who has been the greatest influence you as a coach? And you can take turns on whoever wants to go first.
Some good questions, honestly. I mean, player wise, you know, my role model growing up always was Omri. I mean, I'm a big Arsenal fan, and Omri was always one. Now, I'd love to say that I played like him, but I don't think my performances on the field are anything like Henry. But he was definitely, you know, the person you kind of let me fall in love with the game and really kind of fall in love with the sport. And so yeah, I always was in the back garden and trying to emulate being Henry, and he was definitely the one that I looked up to. So I don't think maybe the playing emulated it, but it was what I was trying anyway. So, and then I'll say the coaching aspect's funny, because it's, you know, when you're playing and you're so kind of focused on playing like I was, coaching was just out of the question. I didn't really think about coaches. I always think now, looking back, I wish I could have, you know, taken more in from the coaches I had, but I was just so focused on making it as a player that, you know, you kind of don't even take, I don't know, it's kind of weird to say, but you don't really think of it. I never thought I was going to be a coach, so it kind of never really came across. And now, obviously, getting thrown into that game, you now kind of, your world opens up to it. And I think, you know, I think it'd be wrong to have one coach. I think you've always got to be, you know, true to yourself and how you are. If I went and said I'm going to be Jurgen Klopp, that's just not going to work with my players, right? It's not going to be the way I go. So I think you try and take lots of little different things from coaches you've had in the past, or you've worked with, or that you can look up to. But you know, it's important to be yourself, and else players are going to see through that. So I definitely love what Arteta's doing right now, and hoping that he can keep that going. But yeah, I'd say, really, right now, I love watching the game. I love watching different coaches and trying to take lots of different things from everyone, really. So,
yeah. And then, you know, for me, I probably should have gone first, since Ben said his, you know, mine's definitely, I was a defender, so I definitely didn't have as very many elegant, role models. You know, I became a Chelsea fan when I was 8 years old. And it was John Terry and Ricardo Carvalho actually were the first two center backs I truly do remember, you know, watching how they played together, and, you know, obviously how they tackled, but also how they commanded a field. And you know, they were definitely two really big influences on my style of play, and, you know, and how I approach the game. You know, obviously being a Chelsea fan now just really isn't that great. And I hate following Ben, knowing that he's an Arsenal fan and that they're doing so well, but what can you do? You know, on the coaching side, really, I think my two biggest influences, one of them was while I was a player, was Tattoo, the old Dallas Sidekicks legend. He was my high school coach. And, you know, the mentality of how you approach everything, even as a coach and as a player. He really taught me a whole bunch of that. But my biggest influence on my coaching was definitely Sammy. looking back when I was 21 years old and just starting to coach with Aces, you know, my one thing is, man, imagine how much more I would have learned if I would have been paying attention for every single second, you know, when I was next to Sammy. But, you know, the idea of being in the drills that Sammy was running, but learning how to coach those same drills was just an incredible, incredible first year for me as a coach. And it definitely shaped where I am now. Like Ben said, I didn't really see myself being a coach long term when I first started. But, you know, when that call came in from Sammy, I mean, it was pretty much set in stone early that this is what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And man, I've never regretted that decision for a second.
Guys, as we wrap up this three series episodes of Aces Soccer Club, I hope you guys truly enjoyed what they talked about, how they run their club, to how they implement technology, to their insight in how soccer should be, and the exciting news of trying to start a USL League One and playing in all these other leagues that they do, and trying to create a first team. As we look back over the last three episodes, there's a lot of information here, so I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys take time to maybe re-listen to what they have to say, or send me a message and let me know what you really enjoy learning about, or something along that lines. And I normally don't do this, but please rate the podcast, like them, download them, share them with others, because as time moves on, this is how the message gets out there and how we grow to appreciate and share this information with each other. So until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.